Let's talk about the Vikings, and we hear it every Sunday when the Vikings either tie or win. Vikings fans go ballistic because they think, oh, we have just blown the draft. Well, which is totally false, at least in my opinion. We need to find out who is the guy that we go to when it comes to the NFL draft.
Our good friend,
Sean Zobel with DraftHeadquarters.com. It is the best website when it comes to figuring out the upcoming NFL draft. And, hey, Sean, welcome back to Sioux Falls.
All right, thanks again for having me, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, give me the answer. Vikings fans, has the tie and the wins made the Vikings, is it going to make it where they're not going to be able to draft a good quarterback this year?
You know, that's not necessarily true. You know, the tie doesn't help when you look at the entire draft order and how it's all, you know, sets up and down. Essentially, a tie could essentially be considered a win when, you know, you look at everybody else. The draft order essentially is based all on the number of losses that you have and opponent's win-loss percentage. And for the Vikings, their opponent's win-loss percentage is a little bit higher than, you know, others. And the tie essentially doesn't help because it's more considered a win than a loss when you're evaluating based on the losses. But with Minnesota right now, they're sitting at 6 overall. With the rest of their schedule, you know, if they could win one or two more games, I think they're going to have a pick in the top 10 right now. That's a safe assumption. It's just a question of how high. With this year's quarterback class, it's going to be interesting. There's, you know, depending on who you talk to, there's a different, you know, number one overall quarterback. I'm not as high on Teddy Bridgewater as others are. You know, not as many people are as high on A.J. McCarron as I am. So, you know, to me, I think right now there's a realistic three to four quarterbacks that'll go in the first round. You know, obviously you start with Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel out of Texas A&M, McCarron out of Alabama, and Blake Bortles out of UCF, Central Florida. Yeah, those are the four that I think most people look at and say, okay, that's the realistic four right now, with obviously Marcus Mariota staying in school. You know, he was another possibility. Zach Mettenberger's been a little overrated. I don't think he's quite as good as other people think, but he's got some other off-field stuff that would have pushed him down the draft board pretty significantly as well. So, you know, I think right now there's a legitimate three to four guys, and if the Vikings are within the top five, six, seven, eight picks, I think they should be all right. But, you know, when you talk about winning games that are, you know, may or may not end up being meaningless when all is said and done, it is sometimes tough to swallow when you can see yourself getting pushed down and having less of an opportunity to draft, you know, one of those top guys.
How much did Marcus Mariota and his decision to return to Oregon for another year, how much does that affect the dominoes in the draft when it comes to quarterbacks? Is there a big domino effect, or is it really not going to be that big of a deal once we get to next spring?
You know, it's really tough when you look at the top of the draft order right now. You know, Houston Texans are sitting number one. Jacksonville Jaguars are number two. They've got Case Keenum and Chad Henne as their quarterbacks. So you'd like to think that both of those teams will take a quarterback or would strongly consider taking a quarterback. You know, you never know. Maybe Jacksonville wants Jadeveon Clowney to put it in, and they'll draft a quarterback in the second round. St. Louis, you know, Sam Bradford, I've never been high on him. I don't think he's anything special, but they remain, you know, committed to him. And even though they have two first-round picks this year, it sounds like they aren't going to go that way. You know, Atlanta's not going to take one. Tampa Bay, flip a coin, depends on what you think of Mike Glennon. Cleveland, who's sitting at number seven, they're absolutely going to take a quarterback in the first round. So, you know, with the domino effect, like you mentioned, with Mariota, he was just another, you know, kind of flavor of the month to me. He was a guy who's a fantastic athlete, obviously. He needs a lot more work as a passer than I think a lot of people have been led to believe. You know, he's kind of that Geno Smith, in my opinion, of this year, where, you know, when Geno was coming out last year, I was never high on him. I didn't think he was anything special, but, you know, ESPN continued to tell you he was going to be a top five pick, and then he fell to the second round. So I think Mariota's not – he's a better player than Geno Smith is, without a doubt. I just don't think he was quite the elite prospect a lot of people were led to believe. So would it have helped the Vikings if he was in the draft? Absolutely. It's just another number. There's another possibility out there for them to take a quarterback. Now you're going to have to be a lot more selective and find that guy that you want, and maybe you'll have to trade up for him. But to me, I think when you look at McCarron, Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, if the Vikings can get one of those three or maybe get a Blake Bortles, depending on what happens there, I think that those are the three or four guys that they're really going to have to target when all is said and done by the time we get to May.
Two quarterbacks that have been out there, one that you've brought up, Jimmy Garoppolo out of Eastern Illinois. Is that a kid that might be able to do something in the NFL?
You know, I love Jimmy Garoppolo. He's one of those small school type of players. It reminds me a lot of Joe Flacco when he was coming out of Delaware. And with that, I mean, when you watch him play, he elevates the surrounding talent around him very well. You can tell by the way that he, you know, plays on the field against inferior competition. He consistently dominates. He's rewritten the record books at Eastern Illinois, broke all of Tony Romo's records from when he was there. And from the standpoint of what he can do physically, he reminds me a lot just in the pocket of Drew Brees. His mobility, his ability to work through his reads very quickly, stay on the top of his toes. He's very capable of being alert and on point with what he's trying to do in the pocket. Delivers the ball very quickly, accurately down the field. Is he going to be first-round pick, or first- or second-rounder? I don't know. It's too early to say. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl in January, and if he goes down there and performs very well, I think he's going to go a lot higher than a lot of people think because he's got the type of tools to be a very good player.
One other quarterback that has gone up in his stock, though, and could be making a trip to the Heisman Trophy presentation, Jordan Lynch out of Northern Illinois. What do you think about this kid, what he's doing there with the MAC?
You know, he's one of those guys. He's a great athlete and a very good football player. Is he going to be an NFL quarterback? You know, tell me the last time a Northern Illinois quarterback was drafted. It was Chandler Harnish. He was the last pick of the draft by the Colts 2 years ago. He's not even in the league anymore, I don't believe, off the top of my head. But, you know, with these Northern Illinois guys, they're very good college players who physically don't quite have the same type of physical tools that you look for to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. I think he's obviously going to get some looks. He's going to get a lot of, you know, recognition for the season that he's had. But, you know, specifically for the Minnesota Vikings, I don't see him being the type of player that, you know, anybody's going to be targeting early in the draft, I guess you could say.
He's Sean Zobel, DraftHeadquarters.com, here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. So the quarterback is what we focus on with the Vikings, but anybody that has watched them play knows that defense has been horrendous, especially that secondary. Xavier Rhodes is locked down, I think, as that left cornerback. I've been so pleased watching him play the last couple of weeks. How about secondary, Sean? Is there anybody out there, maybe even a linebacker as well, that the Vikings should consider drafting high? Or if they've got a top 7 or 8 pick, do they have to go with quarterback?
You know, this year's cornerback class is an interesting one. Most years you get one elite guy. You know, in the past it's been Patrick Peterson, Morris Claiborne. Last year it was Dee Milne out of Alabama. This year there isn't going to be one at this time, I don't think. You know, there's a lot of underclassmen that are possibilities that could come. We already know that Bradley Roby at Ohio State and Luchez Pierre out of Florida are both coming up. Neither one of those guys are top 10 picks. They're going to be late first, early second round guys. The senior cornerback class is actually where there's a lot of talent, a lot of depth, and a lot of guys that are going to be able to come out and produce as potential starters next year. And I think for the Vikings, with that top 40 pick in the early second round, you go quarterback in round one, you get a cornerback on the defensive side of the ball in the second round. You're looking at guys like Darquez Denard out of Michigan State, Justin Gilbert, Oklahoma State, Jason Verrett, TCU, Kyle Fuller, Virginia Tech, Aaron Colvin from Oklahoma. That's 5 guys that are senior corners this year that could all come in and probably compete for a starting job early in their career as a rookie. You get one of those guys to pair with Xavier Rhodes, you've already got Harrison Smith, and that's how you start to rebuild that third worst pass defense that the Vikings have right now, you know, in the NFL. So from the Vikings' perspective, you're not going to be looking at a cornerback with a top 10 pick. I think you're going to want to target the best quarterback that you can find and do whatever it takes to get that guy. And then in the second, third, fourth rounds, you find, you know, that there's going to be a lot more depth at the cornerback position on defense. Go target that position, and then you're going to be able to find your guy there.
Sean, DraftHeadquarters.com. What will folks see at your website today?
Hey, we got a lot of information coming out in the next couple months. I'll be heading down to Florida for the East-West Shrine Game, Senior Bowl. That's going to be in January. You know, obviously during the bowl game, we'll be previewing and talking about those. Player stocks fluctuating up and down. We'll be tracking all of the underclassmen declaring for the draft. It's going to be a busy few months here, so we look forward to it.
You had this kid number one at the end of the NFL draft last year when it was all said and done. You still have him number one, Jadeveon Clowney. Is he going to be the guy that could get the number one pick come the draft time?
You know, it's interesting. I may be able to give you a better answer actually after tonight. If Houston wins and Jacksonville retains the number one overall pick, I think it's entirely possible. Jacksonville runs a 4-3 defense. Houston runs a 3-4. Houston probably wouldn't take a 4-3 defensive end to put in their 3-4 defense. It would probably take a quarterback. If Jacksonville loses tonight and retakes that number one pick with their 4-3 defense, I think it could be possible, especially with no legitimate number one franchise quarterback that, you know, is the runaway favorite right now. It's still entirely possible. I think you know, we got a lot of time left before now and May to really dive into it and see who is going to be that number one pick, but you definitely can't rule him out. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him.
So Vikings fans were rooting for Houston tonight. Got it.
Absolutely.
I got it. Hey, see, just tell me who I got to root for, and that's the bandwagon I'm jumping on.
Yeah, good stuff. Sean, thanks as always. You do absolutely fantastic work. Folks, go to drafthedquarters.com. Sean, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Kev, for having me, guys.
You got
it. See you, Sean.
Sean Zobel. Again, it's drafthedquarters.com.